Welcome to the Story Mine. I'm David Bullock, and I'm here with my co-host,
Kathy Barker.
You know, the Story Mine is a brief program that's full of stories. We feature stories from tellers from all around the world. They tell us fairy tales, folk tales, tall tales, and family stories. Now, for me, family stories are important tales that should be told and retold throughout our lives so that they might be remembered and passed down from generation to generation. I have a wealth of stories from my family that go back hundreds of years.
Dave, you've shown me many stories that have been written from your ancestors about things that have happened to them. And sometimes there are events in our lives that are difficult to explain. We have a very hard time acknowledging the fact that something miraculous had happened to us, something hard to explain to other people. The Indians, they did have a reverent way of telling stories that I see in your writings, and they tell of great deeds and occurrences. It is in this fashion that Dave wrote a true story that happened to him and his son Matthew. It's a story he's named Fancy Pants, and it's what we're going to share with you today.
Once upon a time not so long ago that there aren't those still living who can testify of the truthfulness of this story, there lived a father and his grown son. Since childhood, father and grown son enjoyed hunting and fishing together and made plans to one day take their bows and arrows and hunt on grandfather's sacred mountain for elk and deer. Grandfather's mountain had been passed from one generation to the next. Grown son's father, because of the age of grandfather, would soon become the sacred mountain's owner, along with his brothers and sister. Ever since grown son's father was a small boy, he hunted with his grandfather and father on the beautiful mountain and hoped that one day he might have permission to build his family lodge on its beautiful sacred foothills. The size of the deer and elk on this land bore evidence of the nurturing richness of the plants that the animals ate, which made them larger, faster, and smarter than animals that fed on other nearby lands. It was believed the reason the animals were bigger and tasted better than those on nearby mountains was because of the water that flowed out of an artesian spring. The water had a peculiar tinny metallic taste, and animals would come from great distances to drink this water. Most humans, although thirsty, would not drink of the water because of its bitter taste. But grandfather and his children and their children all partook of the water that trickled out of the holes in the ground. Jokingly, grandfather would tell his sons that to drink the water would put metal in their muscle. Many years passed, and grown son's grandfather went to dream on the anniversary of his sweetheart's passing. The story is told around the campfire to this day that his dream was so clear and wonderful, he refused to awake, and he slept forever. Now, because of grandfather's death, grown son's father shared the sacred land and beautiful mountain with his brothers and sister. His brothers had toiled on the land that they lived on and drank from the bitter streams daily. They'd been successful hunters, bringing to their lodges the largest bucks and bull elk anyone had seen in those parts of the country. Father's brothers were full of pride at the treasures that they took from the mountains and paraded the horned heads of their plunder throughout the villages where they lived. The brothers, by having eaten the animals from the mountain and drunk from the tinny-tasting stream, were blessed with gifts of intelligence that gave them the ability to have more hides, more pelts, more horses, more cattle, more beads, and other valuable means of trade. Their lodges were much larger than even that of their fathers and grandfathers. Even they, in stature, were larger than most other braves and warriors. They had big medicine, which gave them the ear of many, and they became leaders and counselors in their respective villages. As they grew older, they became important men, men too busy seeing after their riches to go hunting on the mountain of their fathers, or to drink of the bitter stream, which they only did in their earlier years, because their father and grandfather had no other water source for them to drink from. Groan's son's father was much younger than his brothers. They had grown and taken wives while he was still a boy, which gave him uninterrupted moments of riding and hunting with his father. Because of this, Groan's son's father gained much knowledge of the land and learned many of its secrets. Groan's son's grandfather was the one who named his grandson. Every time grandfather would see the child, he would exclaim, "He is grown, son," which became understood as, "He is grown, son." It is true, Groan's son grew quickly since birth, and his body became that of a man before those of his own age. When Groan's son's father was still a boy, his father and grandfather took him to a special hill on the beautiful sacred mountain and told him of the wealth of colorful golden treasures that were buried below the grasses. His grandfather told him of another people who had hair on their faces. Many centuries ago, these people took Indians captive and enslaved them, making them dig in the earth for the heavy yellow money rock. But those slaves revolted, and the hardhats, as he called them, were driven from the land forever. At the passing of grandfather, Groan's son's father and his brother and sister jointly held stewardship of the beautiful land, but only one desired to live on the land and take sustenance from it. The older brothers had settled into their own communities and desired to trade away their inheritance, the sacred mountain. This would make them even more wealthy and important in the eyes of others. They had forgotten of their land's sacred nature and no longer desired to hunt and fish, but paid others to do their hunting for them. It was true. They still remembered the tinnish-tasting water and hoped to their great creator that they would never have to drink that mountain's bitter metallic-tasting water again. Thus, they conspired together to trade the land for that golden money rock. But what of their younger brother? He was the key. He was in the way of their plans, that silly brother who spoke of dreams and told stories of visions, always riding his horse to the lower pasture and riding or hiking upon the foothills and into the mountain. He, their younger brother, loved the land like no other. The older brothers knew that they would have to confront and perhaps even fight their younger brother in order to gain the additional wealth they sought from the trading of the mountain they no longer loved. They knew of its value, considering it was the last of its kind for many hours' ride. Nearby in the valleys and mountains surrounding the sacred mountain, intruders from other countries and faraway lands were claiming large quantities of land for themselves, building lodges the size of castles and paying a king's ransom just for the beautiful view of the sacred mountain from their lodge's porch. "So let them be kings," said the brothers. "They'll have our land, and we'll have their yellow money rock." Knowing of the designs of his older brothers, Groan's son's father sought to be at the sacred mountain as often as he could, for he knew that the day would come in the near future that he would be unable to stop their plans and would be left with mere baubles and fufura in his pockets, and that the land would be taken from him and his children. This is when he planned a special hunt with his son, where they would both go to the sacred mountain, drink of the water, and pray to the great creator of a sacrifice of one of the largest deer to help them keep their mountain forever. Groan's son and his father were excited to go upon the mountain and hunt for game. It was a common interest that they both enjoyed, hunting together and being in each other's company. They enjoyed it even more when they would hike and hunt together on the sacred hunting grounds of their ancestors. The night before the hunt, Father had a hard time sleeping. He kept dreaming about a large, dark rattlesnake. He was told that the snake would poison his life and take away that which was even more valuable than the sacred land itself. Father thought to himself as he lay beneath his robes awake, What could be more sacred than the land of my ancestors? He would drift off to sleep, only to again be confronted by this giant black rattlesnake. Thus he slept little. Instead, he prayed to the great Creator that if there was any way the Creator could take away the curse of the rattlesnake, to make it so. If that could be done, he would gladly allow his brothers to trade the sacred land. He would forever be grateful and never forget the goodness and blessings of the Creator. It was cold on the morning that they were to ride to the land to hunt together. Father told his son to be sure to wear strong leather leggings that would keep him warm and protect him from the undergrowth's spiny branches and thorns. Grown son found that his leggings were too small because he'd outgrown them. Looking, he found a sturdy pair of leggings that had served his father well. He put them on and found that they were too long and dragged on the ground around his feet. This was not good, as the excess length would cause him to trip, and the dragging would make a noise that would alert the animals to his presence. Aha, he thought to himself, I will roll them up until they are around my ankles, which he did, and with his bow and scabbard of arrows, ran out to get his pony. As they rode toward the distant mountain, father and grown son talked of their plans, where they were going to hunt, and how they were going to outsmart the largest deer, which they had been stalking for several years. But the beast had always gotten the best of them. This time it would be different, and they would have their reward. When the birds started singing their morning prayers to the coming sun, father and son were close to their hunting grounds, and father was tired by the time they arrived. For hours they sought their quarry, but the big buck was not to be found. Many magnificent deer were within their drawstring sting, but they were after the old wise one that had eluded their arrows. Tired and disappointed, father told his son that he wanted to find a shady spot, lie down, and rest. After all, we might as well wait until this evening, when again the deer come out to feed. Grown son wouldn't hear of it, saying that he would hunt on his own. Perhaps he would be able to shoot a rabbit, and they could enjoy it for lunch. This was a good plan, knowing how grown son loved to walk on the sacred land and gaze upon its beauty. Father also knew how his son could chatter away the hours that he'd rather been sleeping through. Father, what was the largest deer you've ever taken from the mountain? Father, why does the water of the stream taste so bad, yet we drink it? Is it all right to drink water that tastes like metal? On and on grown son would talk, keeping his father awake. So father was happy to know that his son would want to go explore the land, and after all, he was a good hunter. Good luck, my son. May the spirits of the mountain deliver a big fat one in your path. Father rode his horse to the shade of a large oak tree that for many years had grown its nourishment from the stream that flowed out of the mountainside. Father walked to the trickling stream. Kneeling down beside it, he offered up thanks to his Creator for the many beauties of the mountain and for the opportunity that he had experienced hunting on that sacred land with his son, his father, and his grandfather. He told the great Creator of his rattlesnake dream and asked for protection and guidance. He scooped up several handfuls of water, pouring it over his head and shoulders, and then drank abundantly. It had been many years since he'd drank the water, and the taste of it brought back memories of when he and his father and grandfather had hunted on that mountain and drank from the same stream together. He longed for those old times, but he knew that they were never to return. He then snuggled against a cool outcrop of rock and slept. His slumber was deep, as if induced by magic chance and too much strong drink. He knew he should awake, but he was too comfortable and felt too good to even stir to swat away a yellow jacket which buzzed about his ears, beckoning him to wake up. All of a sudden he saw in his sleep vision a fat, dark rattlesnake stalking his son. That was what his dream had tried to tell him. His son was much more precious to him than the sacred land. This brought him to his feet. He immediately jumped onto his horse and at breakneck speed went looking for his son. He called upon the spirit of the mountain to protect his son and to also help guide him to where he was hunting so that he could warn him of the danger of the rattlesnake. Down the mountain his horse ran, down the steep slopes toward the area where the rabbits were the most plentiful. Moments later he saw his son's pony grazing in a small meadow. Then he saw Grown Son upon a steep mountainside throwing large rocks into the bushes. Grown Son was throwing the rocks behind him, then in front of him, and then again behind him. Many rocks were thrown, and then he watched as his son began running straight down the steep mountainside, taking bounding leaps that would carry him flying through the air like a bird until he'd land and quickly take another bounding jump, which brought him closer to the bottom of the steep hillside. Father galloped his horse to his son's side, and as he dismounted, Grown Son fell to the ground, gasping for breaths of air. "Father! Father! Father! It was a snake, Father! It was the biggest, darkest rattlesnake I've ever seen, Father! I stepped on it, and it struck at me. I was so afraid. I jumped into the air and landed down the mountainside, many paces below where it struck at me. I heard it rattling and following me down the mountain, so I began throwing many big rocks to try to kill it, or at least scare it away. But it was no use. I could hear it coming after me, and I was afraid to move for fear I might step on another rattlesnake. I started throwing rocks down the mountain so that I might disturb any other snakes in order to know their location, and many snakes began rattling their tails as though they were all coming after me. I chose my best path, Father, and launched myself into the air, hoping to never touch the ground until I was away from that hillside and those snakes." The father knew that his son was in shock from the frightening experience and asked his son if he had been bitten. Grown Son looked at his father with wonder and paused, then described the heavy force of the huge snake as it struck his leg with its fangs. He turned pale and dared not look at his leg where the snake struck. Father helped him to be more comfortable so he could examine his son's leg. That's when he noticed that his son was wearing his father's best fancy dress leggings that he wore at dances and celebratory occasions. Now, they were heavily scratched from his son's hiking through the brush on that day's hunt. Immediately, Father was angry at his son for taking them rather than using his own leggings, but he was too worried about the deadly poison that could possibly be coursing through his son's body, which could take his life from him. He was ashamed that his prayers were not heeded by his Creator, perhaps because of his anger and selfish possession of his fancy leggings. In desperation, he cried out, "No, great Creator, make it not so! Make it not so!" It was then that he saw that his son, whose legs being shorter than his, had rolled up the excess leggings, and there in the layered rolls of leather around his son's ankle were two large puncture holes. His son had been struck by the rattlesnake. Father's stomach convulsed at the thought of what was to come. The fang marks were at least the length of an arrowhead apart, meaning that it was a very big snake, just like the one that he had seen in his dreams. Father's heart ached at the sight of the holes in the leggings, and with some trepidation he slowly slid the leggings up his son's leg so he could see the wounds in his skin. To his amazement, there were no wounds. The snake had bit into the rolled cuff around his son's ankle, and the cuff, having so many layers of rolled leather, absorbed the long fangs of the snake so they would not penetrate his son's leg. Father was so happy he forgot about the anger he felt when he learned that his son had taken his best fancy leggings. In fact, he became so happy that he danced and sang to the great Creator, shouting thanks to the heavens for answering his prayers, saving his son's life. He sang and danced with thanksgiving that his son wanted to wear his leggings. Instead of anger, he was grateful that his son wore his fancy pants. Father danced and sang a song of many thanks to his Creator and cried tears of joy that his prayer to the Great Spirit had been answered. To this day, Father dances with happiness that his son was spared and that his Creator had answered his fervent prayers. On that day, Father gave Grown's son a new name. He would never refer to his son as Grown's son again, and gave him a new name of Fancy Pants. Father took water from the stream and splashed it on the fang marks of those fancy pants, then took more and splashed it over his son's head, christening him with the new name and giving him his pair of fancy pants. Now, many years later, Fancy Pants has a son much larger than others' sons for their age, a son who someday will go to the great sacred mountain to hunt game with his father and his grandfather, who once upon a time had a sleepless night and a nice, fancy pair of leggings. They will hunt for the biggest deer, and they will drink from the bitter-tasting stream that flows from the mountainside. They will be refreshed and live happily forever after. Walk in balance. Pray to the Creator for protection. Sing and dance with gratitude for your blessings. This is my story, a story that is true, a story that happened to me, a father, and his son. And that is the end of this story.
What a treasure. Thank you, Dave, for putting that story into such a traditional style, which helps us to appreciate the message. For me, at least, this persuades me to put my stories down on paper. I see the power of being creative with the telling of the story. Don't be afraid to tell your story out of the fear that someone will doubt it. Just share your message.
Thanks, Kathy. Well, we've come to the end of our show today. Until next week, this is Dave Bullock and
Kathy Barker
saying
goodbye.
Goodbye.